Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. We've come all the way from sunny Manchester. I believe this is the first study in a series on Abraham. Is that right? We're going through Abraham.
We're going through Genesis.
Oh, Genesis. So you're up to Abraham. So I've got the first study, the call of Abraham. I'm coming next month, and the subject is the birth of Ishmael. So obviously you're going through Abraham at the moment. So I'm very privileged to be going through it. So let's see if we can learn something about the call of Abram. You know, Abram is pivotal in the Bible. Rob said that he didn't think the church started at Pentecost. He thinks it started before. Well, personally, I think it started with Abraham.
Amen.
Because we're the children of Abraham. Those that are saved by faith are the children of Abraham. He was the first one to be called out of religion, wasn't he? He was in Babylon, and he was the first one to be called out. So he was the ecclesia, the called out ones. So I believe we're children of Abraham. It's a fantastic story because Abraham was asked to role play God. That's massive, isn't it? He had to sacrifice his son to prophesy that one day God would sacrifice his own son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. How big is that? Stand in Abraham's shoes and think that God would call you to role play God in some capacity. Can you get your head around that? Because Abraham was an ordinary man. He wasn't a great man of God. He worshipped idols. He was a heathen, and God called him, so how much more you? Do you think God could call you to role-play some fantastic thing? Role-play God, or role-play some revival? Of course he could. We're all called out of the world, aren't we? For a purpose. Your life's a prophecy. So before I get into Abraham, a bit of history. If you're not interested in history, then forget this. You don't like facts and figures. But I thought, seeing as we're starting, that I'd give a bit of the genealogy. You know that Adam and Eve were probably 6,000 years ago. Well, Noah was the 10th from Adam, the 10th generation. So it's about 1,500 years, the 10th generation from Adam. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. Okay. So Abram was the 10th generation from Noah. So that's not by chance, is it? Noah was the 10th from Adam, and Abram was the 10th from Noah. Let me go through it. So Noah had a son, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Well, the bad seed was Ham, wasn't it? Nimrod came from the seed of Ham. We're not looking at that bad seed. We're looking at the good seed. So the good seed came from Shem. So Abram came from Shem. So Shem was 100 and he begat Arphaxad. That's number two. He lived 35 years and begat Salah. That's three. Salah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Eber lived 34 years and begat Peleg. Now, it's interesting because it tells us in the days of Peleg, that's when the earth was scattered. That's when people were scattered over the earth. So we know that's the Tower of Babel, don't we? We'd have to look at the bad seed and Nimrod to know when it was. So it's the fourth generation. So there weren't many people on the earth at the Tower of Babel. Four generations. A village. They were all in one plane, weren't they? The whole world was in one plane in Shinar. So I reckon there's probably 7,000 people in four generations. Couldn't be many more, could it? I used to think there were millions at the Tower of Babel, but it was a village. There was only four generations, so work it out from Noah and his sons. Anyway, he lived to be 30, begat Reu, and then he begat Sherug, Nahor, Terah is the ninth, and he was the father of Abram. And Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. So Lot was Abram's nephew. All right, maybe you're not interested in this, but here's a fact. Adam was still alive when Methuselah was born, because Methuselah died at the flood, didn't he? So Noah was 600 years before the flood, when the flood came. So Adam was still alive when Methuselah was born. And Methuselah was alive when Noah was born. And this is an interesting fact. Noah was still alive when Abram was born. You can add up the generations, 30, they begat so-and-so, 35. They lived to be hundreds of years old, didn't they? I don't know what year Noah died, what age he was. I think he was about 800. So he was alive when Abram was born. That means that Abraham, it was his name changed, he must have heard first-hand accounts of the lives of Adam and Eve. Because Adam, Methuselah, Noah, Abram, so he's almost hearing from his grandfather. He would have been telling. So Abram would have heard the stories of Adam and Eve, wouldn't he? That's what I'm saying. It's not 10, 20 generations later. They were still alive. All right, well, Abram, A-B-R-A-M, that was his name. It was changed to Abraham later. Abram means exalted father. That's what it means. So that was what God called him, an exalted father. But when he was 99 years old, he was 75 when God called him, and he was 99 when God changed his name to Abraham. And that means a father of multitudes. So he was already an exalted father. But when he obeyed God, and this is the point I want to make with Abram, every step that God told him, he obeyed God. I know people criticise Abram for Ishmael, but if I was going through the story, I would prove that Abram was never disobedient. He always moved in faith in the light he was in, in the light he was in. And if you move in faith in the light you're in, of course later you realise I made a mistake there, but you didn't know. And Abram didn't know the plan. He didn't know that his son would come through his own loins. He didn't know that it would come through Sarah. She was barren, so obviously the promise couldn't come through Sarah. So he moved in faith in the light he was in. He had a barren wife, so he found a way. So he acted in faith. And you can act in faith and produce Ishmaels. Do you know that? It's all right. You can't get an Isaac till you've produced an Ishmael. He's the father of faith, so he's sowing the plan. So you succeed through many failures. But if you act in faith in your life, whatever you do in faith is accounted for righteousness according to God. Whatever you do in disobedience is accounted for sin. But if you act in faith in the light you're in, it's counted for righteousness. Okay, so you don't have to be afraid of moving in faith in the light you're in. Because God doesn't tell you the second move till you've made the first. That's a principle. If you won't make the move when God calls you to do something, go and witness to somebody, leave your job, start a church, marry somebody. If you won't make the first move, you never get any more instructions. You make the first move in faith, and then God tells you the second move. Abram didn't know that it would be through his own loins. He didn't know it through Sarah. But he obeyed the first command and left where he was. That's all that matters, that you obey the now situation. Interesting thing about Abram, his wife was barren. Why does God always complicate things? He does. He gets the firstborn to be the last. Esau and Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. But Esau was the firstborn. He should have got the promise. Why does God mess things about? Joseph, his two sons, he brought them to his father to bless them. And he crossed his hands over. And Joseph said, Dad, you've got it wrong. He's the firstborn. He said, I know, son, but I'm guided by God, not you. Don't be guided by humans, will you? For God's sake, don't be guided by your wife. Don't be guided by your husband. Don't be guided by your children. Don't be guided by the church if you're a pastor. Be guided by God. That's all that matters. And I'll tell you what, you'll have to stand against your wife at times. You'll have to stand against your husband. You'll have to stand against the church if you're going to be led of God, because God will test you. He messes you about, doesn't he, to test you. And so he crossed the hands over. So she was barren, and yet she was going to have the baby that would result in the genealogy later of Jesus. That's amazing. But she was born barren. Do you know something? Abram, Isaac and Jacob, those are the three main ones, aren't they? And the God of Abram, Isaac and Jacob. Abram's wife was barren. Isaac's wife was barren. They had to entreat God. Jacob's wife was barren. Jacob, remember Leah and Rachel? But why is God perverse? Why does he have barren women when he wants to fulfill the promise through a fruitful woman? This is our God. Don't try and work him out, will you? I've been 70 years reading the Bible and I've still not worked God out. Because his ways are in the sea. Don't try and work God out in your life. Just be obedient. He didn't need to know anything about a barren wife. He just needed to obey the first instruction. Leave where you are and go to a place that I will tell you. He didn't even know where he was going. Forget your barren wife. Forget your problems. Just do what God said. It's simple, really, isn't it? Don't we complicate things? Yeah, but why has God done this and why is that? And why am I married to somebody who doesn't follow God? And why have I got a job that I don't like? And why I am in a church and I don't even like the pastor? And what? Well, I've heard all those things. I know you're perfect, but I've heard all those things. But God, you don't work him out, you just obey him. That's hard to learn, isn't it? We always want to work it out. When you question God, why God? You know God's answer. Why? Why are you asking me why? I'm God. You don't have to ask God why. You just say, yes, God. Why is doubt, isn't it? Why? Maybe you've got it wrong, God. Why do you want me to do this? And God says, why are you asking me? I'm God. Just do it. So I could give many instances. What about Manoah and his wife was barren and she produced Samuel. Zachariah, the husband of Elizabeth, she was barren. John the Baptist's mother was barren. Can you see how God wants to make fruitfulness out of barrenness? This is God's way. He makes light out of darkness. He makes beautiful perfume roses out of smelly manure that we put on the roots. This is our God, beauty for ashes. Don't try and work him out. Just learn the principles of God. He makes a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Because you were all pig's ears, weren't you? We were no good, were we? We were unclean, we were pigs, we were dogs outside the Commonwealth of Israel. We had no hope, and God took us and made something beautiful out of us. You can be the bride of Christ, the virgin bride of Christ. Can you see how God works? That he takes something ugly and makes it beautiful. He takes a prostitute and makes her the bride of Christ. He takes a drunkard and makes him a mighty man of God. This is our God. We'd choose the nice people, wouldn't we? And the successful people and the beautiful people. God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. So we better get into the Bible, aren't we? Genesis 11, 31. And Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. So Abram married his half-sister. Sarah was his half-sister. And he used that to escape death many times, didn't he? So did Isaac. He said, she's my sister. She was his sister. So he wasn't telling a lie, she was his sister. He didn't tell the whole truth, but it wasn't a lie. There's a difference. You can, because he said she's my sister. She was. He didn't tell her he was his wife, because he was acting in faith, trying to preserve the promise. And they went from Ur of the Chaldees. Well, Ur is in Babylon. So Abram was born in Babylon, but it says that Terah, his father, took Abram and went to Haran. Now Haran's in Syria. And the Bible calls Jacob and the seed of Abraham Syrians, not Chaldeans. It's interesting. I'll read you some scriptures. Abram wasn't known as a Babylonian, and he was known as a Syrian. So was Jacob and Laban and all those. But, so Terah left Babylon and moved to Haran. And Haran's in modern Turkey, in Syria. Let me read you some scriptures, Genesis 25. See what you think. I was amazed when I studied it. Verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. So Laban, he was called a Syrian. And Genesis 28. And Isaac sent away Jacob, verse 5, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian. Why does it tell you what he was? It's letting you know. And this is strong, Deuteronomy 26. And this is Moses reiterating the journey of Israel. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. A Syrian was my father. And he went down to Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became a mighty nation, great and populous. That's obviously Jacob, isn't it? Because he went down in a famine, 70 souls, and became a nation. But he calls him a Syrian. My father was a Syrian, not Babylonian. You see, when God takes you out of that, you're no longer of the world, are you? So God looks on him as a Syrian. All right, Abram's call, Genesis 12. So Abram is in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. That wasn't Babylon, was it? It was Haran, because he lived in Haran with his father. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. That was the first thing that God said to Abram. Out of the blue. Abram, I want you to leave your father's house in Haran, and I want you to go to a country that I will show you. He didn't even tell him where it was. He just says, leave the land that I will show you. So he didn't tell him what it was. He just had to leave his home and go and leave. And God would direct him. That's amazing. You know, to 99% of Christians, would be massive. If God woke you up one night and said, leave where you are, leave Wigan or wherever you live, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you when you move. He didn't tell him till he'd moved, we'll see. When Abram moved and he left home, then God said, here we are. He just went down from Haran into Canaan. He didn't know Canaan was a place. He just went. He just thought, well, I'll go. And God says, you were led of me. You didn't realize it, but this is the land that I'm going to give you. It's like you leave Wigan, and you think, where shall I go? I'll go north. And you go north, and you go north, and you get to Morecambe. And God says, I'll give you Morecambe or Lancaster or Carlisle or Scotland. You just keep going till God tells you, turn left or turn right, or you've arrived. That's scary, isn't it? But this is the example. Abram is the father of faith, the instigator, the example of faith. So if you're not willing to leave your job, your home, your family, you've not even started, have you? Unless a man is willing to leave house, land, wife, children, and even his own life, he can't be my disciple. Unless you're willing, it doesn't mean God will tell you. He only told Abram, he didn't tell anyone else, did he? But you may be the one. Are you willing? God may never call you, he may die in Wigan. The question is, are you willing? If God told you, would you go to Africa and never come back? Would you go to India? Would you go to America? A nice place. Or Barbados. I've preached in Barbados for a month. It was too hot. I couldn't wait to get back to the snow and the ice cream. It's a challenge, isn't it, when you look at his life. He just was asked to go. He was secure. He had all his family around him. And God gave him 7 promises. Let me go through. I'll just read them and then I'll list the 7. To the land that I will show you. So he gave him a carrot, didn't he? Gave him an incentive. Because he said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. And God always gives you an encouragement before you go. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He'd no idea how that would happen. All the families of the earth are blessed. He didn't say through your seed. He says through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. He could say that to you. Wigan will be blessed because of you. You wouldn't have no idea that you're going to populate Wigan with your seed, would you? He never told him it would be his seed. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and thee, all the families of the earth will be blessed. You'll be blessed to the whole world. He didn't know it would be through his seed. That was later. He just had to obey the first one. Well, number one, I'll make of you a great nation. Number two, I will bless you. Number three, I will make your name great. Number four, you shall be a blessing. Number five, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. Number seven, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Genesis 12, 4 and 5. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance. I know he's been criticised for taking Lot, because Lot was in Sodom, and Abram had to intercede for Lot and rescue Lot out of Sodom, didn't he? But I can't criticise him, because he was responsible for Lot, because Haran had died. So Lot was his nephew who had no parents, so it's like his own family, isn't it? In the East, they take, when you have a widow, when children die, the family take the children. So he took him to his own, so I'm not criticising for that. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. You know, when Abram obeyed, he started on the process of being the father of faith. And he ended up, I'm only giving the first study, I don't know how the many there will be on Abram, but he ended up as the friend of God. You know, we sing a chorus, we sing some audacious choruses, don't we? We don't think about the words, I am the friend of God. I don't think you are. You're a child of God. You know, it's very rare when you become a friend of God. Well, God calls you his friend. That's serious. You've got to make steps of faith to be a friend of God. You can't be a friend of God because you sing the chorus. You can't be a friend of God because you come to church and say your prayers and be a good Christian. You've got to do something to be a friend of God. You've got to act in faith. And God's got to trust you that whatever he tells you to do, you'll do it. Then you become a friend. Let's read it in Galatians. This is what Paul says to the church, to you. Don't you know, therefore, that they which are of faith, if you're saved by faith, this is Galatians 3, verse 7, the same are the children of Abram, not children of Moses. We bypass Moses. We don't go back to the law. You don't need to learn the Mosaic law of Moses. You don't have to learn your Hebrew roots. We've got no roots in Hebrews. Our roots are in Abram. Therefore, they which are of faith, that's us, are the children of Abram. He was the father of faith, the first one to move in faith. And his faith was accounted for righteousness. That's you. That's why I know he started the church, because he was the first one to be saved by faith. His faith was counted for righteousness, exactly like you. Moses' faith wasn't counted for righteousness. They were righteous in the law by keeping the law. But Abram, who wasn't a Jew, who wasn't circumcised when God called him, he's the father of faith. His faith was counted for righteousness. Let's just read it. James 2. I can't go into it. It's a whole study in itself. But Abram's works proved his faith. Faith is the evidence that you believed. If God tells you to do something, you can believe it. Abram could have said to Sarah, God's told us to leave everything and go to a land that God will show us. Yes, Abram. He could have believed that for 20 years. God's really spoken to me. I've got to go. But that's not faith. That's belief. That's in your head. Unless it moves from your head to your heart and to action, it's not faith. Faith is the evidence that you did believe. Faith isn't believing. Believing's in your head. Faith is the evidence that you did believe. The substance, tangible, the substance of things that you hope for. Your hope's in your head, isn't it? But the substance is material. It's happened. Was not our father Abram justified by works? Of course he was, because his works proved his faith. It wasn't works. The works showed his faith. You can't separate faith and works, can you? Faith without works isn't faith, it's dead. So whether it's your works as an act of faith, Cornelius fasted, almsgiving, prayed, and went up as a memorial to God. He had faith in God because he did what God's people should do. And God said to Peter, go and, he was the first Gentile to be saved, wasn't he? Go and witness to him. Wasn't Abram our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing that how faith wrought with his works, and how works, and by works was faith made perfect. Faith isn't faith. It's not perfected until you do something, till you go. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abram believed God, because he did something, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That salvation by faith, he was the first one to be righteous by faith. And he was called the friend of God. Well, that was a mega thing, leaving everything. But you know, that was just the first step. You know, when you do something fantastic for God, you leave your job. You start a church, you do something, and it's the biggest thing you've ever done. That's only the first step. That was his first step. What's mega to us was Abram's first step. He didn't realise he was going to have to kill his son and role-play God. But you see, you don't need to know where it leads. You just start on the pathway. It's none of your business where the path leads. You just start on the path. Genesis 12, 1-4. He'd no idea, but he'd started on the adventure of faith. Verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moriah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. So when he moved and was in Canaan, And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. So when he made the first move, then God told him the second step, or more of the plan. Unto your seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar. Then God spoke to him again. And you'll find that every time Abraham did what God said, then God told him the plan. He never told him the plan that it would be through Sarah till he'd circumcised Ishmael. Ishmael was 13 years old. And God says, circumcise yourself and your household and Ishmael. So Ishmael was circumcised before even Isaac was conceived, never mind born. Because Isaac was the child of promise in Abram's eyes, of course he was. It was through his seed, wasn't it? It was through his loins. So Ishmael was the child of promise according to Abram. And he circumcised him, rolled away the flesh. And only when he did that did God say, it's not Ishmael, it's Isaac. So Ishmael wasn't a mistake, he was the child of promise till God said, it's not him. But he moved in faith at every time. When Abram made love to Hagar to produce Ishmael, he was uncircumcised. And when he'd circumcised Ishmael and himself, the next time he made love to Sarah, she conceived Isaac. Because the angel said, when you've circumcised Ishmael, the angel came to him and said, 1 year from now, Sarah will have a child. And she laughed. So maybe within a month, 3 months, he'd made love to Sarah. Isaac could only come after Abram had been circumcised. If you're uncircumcised of heart, you'll only produce Ishmaels. All right, we're circumcised in heart. And if your heart's not been circumcised, you'll keep producing Ishmaels. You've got to be circumcised to produce Isaacs, the seed of promise. All right, I won't go into that. Maybe somebody will elaborate it. I think I can finish. Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage. And all the men and women are only players on it. They have their exits and their entrances. And one man in his time plays many parts. You know, our successes and failures, they can all be prophetic, like Abram, like all the men of the Bible, like David, who committed adultery and murder. But it's all prophetic. You've got to go through stuff to prophesy what God intends. He had to sacrifice his son. He had the knife. He'd done it in his mind. He had the knife in his hand to kill his son. He had to go through stuff. And you'll have to go through stuff because your life is a prophecy. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that scary? Isn't it terrifying? That's why you need faith. I'm a man of faith. I preach faith every time I can. I know my wife does, because without faith you can't please God. It's a life of faith, it's a walk of faith, but faith is action, it's not believing. Okay. God bless you. Thanks for listening to me.